Let's just turn over to Luke chapter 11. I really enjoy your name, the Ridge Church. I heard you guys changing things up here. That's really neat. And that's exciting with the name change and a lot of neat stuff going on up here. And David's been kind of sharing with me on, you know, that transition. Anytime you make a transition, it's fun. Some people get uncomfortable, and they need to be sometimes. Sometimes we do. We just need to get uncomfortable. That's what I love about the Lord is, you know, His mercies are new every morning. He's going to, you know, change you up. Abundant life, it's supposed to change you up and take you out of comfortability and bring you into a glorious manifestation of more of who He is. I'm going to teach tonight on prayer. And David and I, he said, hey, what are you going to be teaching on? I said, well, I'm going to use a text out of Matthew 11, 5 through 13. He said, I've been teaching out of that. I said, well, I'm going to come a different side of the mountain. And he's like, we got a Ridge Church. I said, oh, good. Then it's a good time for me to be here then because we're going to climb a different side of the mountain. You know, there's different ways to look at the Word of God. And a lot of times what happens with people is as soon as they hear a passage, they think they know it and they kind of shut off. I'm not saying you folks, but I'm just saying in general in the body of Christ, they'll hear a passage and then they go, oh, I've already heard that. And what happens sometimes is you miss nuggets and you miss things that can really change your life. And sometimes what happens is the word that you may hear today may not necessarily do anything for you today. But down the road where you least expect it, boom, the word will come alive because it's sown in the very marrow bones of your body. And so when it comes up, it gives life force. Like marrow gives you life and strength to your bones. Well, the word will come and give you life and strength. I was kind of down a little bit, Tuesday morning. And I was a little down, and I was telling myself, you know, I was just kind of thinking on the wrong things and kind of getting down. And then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere came this song. I hadn't sung it in 15 years. I can't even remember it right now today. And it was about the church and how God made us victorious and how He redeemed us and loved us and that victory always awaits us. And you know what? All that Mully Grove stuff, all that negativity, all that left. And I tell you what, I just soared. And you can ask my wife, I don't get down a lot. I really don't. I'm not one of those people that are down. You know, we can't make it. I'm on the other side of that. Sometimes I can motivate people in the wrong direction because their character can't keep them there. They can actually hurt them because I am a real positive individual and I just know what God can do. I'm totally submitted to the Lord, love the Lord. But you know, as a leader, you have to be careful because not everybody can stay there if they don't have the character and the foundation. You can actually hurt people. And so I have to be careful sometimes in what I do because it's not good. It's not good when people, you know, they think they're going to live on your faith and really it's presumption and then all of a sudden they fall apart and then you got to be there to help them and locate their faith. But the reason why I said all that is sometimes what happens is you're going to deal with some people as you walk in this lifetime and they're going to hear a passage and then they're going to shut down. And I'm going to teach a little bit different on this passage. Maybe some of you have never heard this teaching before, but I'm going to bring it out, and we're just going to trust God that I know what I'm talking about. Just because you go to Bible college and study and all that, you know, that doesn't mean you really know God or you really know the Word. But the Word, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and God is truth, and Jesus is truth, and that grace and truth will witness to you. If it doesn't witness to you, spit it out. Just say, well, Len missed it. But I believe that we have something from God, and it's going to be good. I'm not going to pray because I believe you're all prayed up, so let's get right into this thing, okay? So Jesus is talking about model prayer, and I want to look at verse number 1 of 11 before we get into 5 to where I want to go tonight. I'm going to keep it short because blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be heard again. And so it's the middle of the week. I know you're tired and, you know. Okay, it says in verse 1, now it came to pass, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, or when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So I want to make sure we understand hermeneutically. Hermeneutics means the actual passage of what it literally means. We're talking about teaching someone how to pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. Now one of Jesus' disciples is asking Jesus, teach us how to pray, because John also taught his disciples. So now we get to verse 5. Jesus teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And now we're going to get in to what Jesus calls a friend comes at midnight. And he said to them, remember he's talking to disciples, right? So he said to the disciples, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now let's break this down. In verse 5, when Jesus says here, and he said to them, he's speaking to the disciples, and he's asking them a question, which of you shall have a friend? Now the reason why he uses a friend there, this book, you got to quit thinking in American ideology, because a friend can mean an array of things in America. You have to think in biblical terms that this is being done in a Jewish setting. If it's a friend, it means an associate. But a friend more than that means this. It means a friend of the bridegroom who is used to go and ask in behalf of the friend for the hand of the woman that he wants to marry. And then the friend doesn't stop there. The friend works with the dowry of the daddy. And he works with all the nuptial and vows that are going to be said along with the rabbi. Because it takes a year's time for them to court and all that, and they need this friend as his help. So when we hear this, we just say, oh, it's a friend. No, they understood the setting. This is a close friend. This is a friend that you're putting your life into, that you're placing your very hands into this friend to represent you. And if your friend doesn't represent you good, it could cost you a lot of money for that woman. Or he can mess up the vows. Or he can mess some things up with you. Now watch this. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Okay? For a friend of mine, so in other words, now he's saying, now a friend that I have that I went on behalf of him to go get him married has come to me on a long journey. Look at this. Come to me, and I don't have anything to offer him. I have nothing to set before him. I want to have this sweet fellowship with him. I want to have this time together with him. I want to make sure that his need is met. You follow what I'm saying? But I don't have anything to give him. What kind of friend would I be if I allowed you to go speak on my behalf to get my wife? And I trusted my whole life with you. And I had a need and I come to you. and you can't meet that need, that wouldn't be a very faithful friend, would it? You wouldn't call that a faithful friend. Or if he didn't make the opportunity, if he didn't make the effort to go take care of that need, you would know that person didn't love you. Right? Okay, so here he is. He has nothing to offer him. Let's take a look at the next verse. It says, actually, nothing to set before him. And he will answer, watch this. And he will answer, this is his friend, he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Now, the word trouble there is not like what we think trouble. The word trouble there means this. To get up, if you trouble me, I'm going to have to do something that's going to cause work. What it was saying is, I have no loaf to give you. This guy is like saying, no, man, I got to get up and make some bread. Why are you troubling me? Trouble the work, the toil. But we think of trouble like, oh man, you come at this bad time of night, you know, you're going to have me offer something. No, this is more than just offering. This guy has flour. This guy has water. This guy has to bake. He says, I'm in bed. Look, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are gone to bed. Hey, the stove has been shut down. Now I'm going to have to fire the stove back up. I'm going to have to get the flour out. I'm going to have to get the water out. I'm going to have to make this bed. Hey, I'm not going to do it. And then it says here, watch this now, he says. I cannot rise and give you. The word cannot there, when he says I cannot rise, that literally means this. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. Because of the state of my mind has been drained today because of the work, I'm not able to do this. I'm not capable or strong or powerful enough to do this. That's why he's saying, I'm in bed. I'm lied down. I'm exhausted. That's what the friend is saying here. And he says this, to rise up means to stand. His friend was dead, tired, wiped out, had no strength in his body and his mind, and this is what he's telling him. Very interesting now what happens. Verse 8, I say to you. Now this is what I want to share. Let me go back a little bit. The friend that knocks on the door says, hey, I got another friend of mine came over on a long journey. I need to get some food before him. And the other guy tells him, see, he's explaining, this is what I need. You're my friend. I'm telling you what I need. You're going to make me look bad. Because I made, you remember, you're my friend, you went and got my wife. Well, now the guy that I got his wife is at my house. And so then he says, he's telling them what's going on. Well, the friend goes, hey, man, I'm tired. And he says, hey, don't trouble me. The door's now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give it to you. He's explaining to him what he can't do. Look at verse 8. I say to you, though he will not rise, meaning stand up and get the power to go do what he's supposed to do, and give to him because he is his friend, meaning this, he has the need. He can meet the need. He's got the flour. He's got the water. He can bake it. Or he may even have the loaves ready to go. He says here, I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, because they have this covenant and they're friends, he won't do that. It says here, because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, we've been taught this, and it's wrong. We have taught persistent means this, that the guy couldn't get him to answer, so he stayed there and knocked on the door, and he knocked on the door, and he knocked on the door. Now, we're all very intelligent, and we are very smart. Jesus would have told us if the guy stayed on that door and knocked and knocked and knocked. Did the guy stay there and knock and knock and knock? Absolutely not. Because that word persistence in the Greek literally means this, importunity, which means shamelessness, boldness, confidence. Because you're my friend, he said, look it, I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything to eat because he is his friend, which he should do, Jesus said, he should do this. But because, look at this, yet because of his persistence, our importunity, our shamelessness, our boldness, our confidence, you can only have boldness, you can only have confidence if you know somebody has something you need. And he knew he had it. He said he will get up and give him as much as he what? Needs, because of the shamelessness, because of the boldness, because of the confidence. Jesus is trying to show that if answered prayer comes from shamelessness, boldness, confidence. But you have to understand, you have to know what he has to give you, or you can't have that boldness. You can't have that shamelessness. You can't have that confidence. It's not a knocking. Come on, buddy, get up. Come a long way. You're my friend, remember? I got to feed them. Go away. The door's closed. The kids are in the sack with me. I'm tired. Kitchen shut down. You're my friend. Open up the door. I got another friend. This isn't a repeat. This is not persistence like that. There's a boldness in them. There's a confidence in them. A shamelessness. You got to have some shame to go knock on someone's door. Shamelessness, not shame, but shamelessness to go at 12 midnight and knock on someone's door. I don't know about you, but I have very few friends I can do that to, and I know they have a need that I could call them up shamelessly, not feel bad at all that they picked up the phone out of a dead sleep. I would not feel guilty. That's what shamelessness means. I wouldn't feel guilty or wonder, oh boy, I wonder if I call them, Nick, yeah, I hope they answer it. You see what I'm talking about? Now, this comes from relationship. You cannot have a good prayer life if you don't have a good relationship. This is a relationship of friends. Jesus is showing us that prayer has to do with a relationship between two friends. And we have been called the friend of God. Remember, he's talking to disciples. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to his disciples that he's drawn out, and now he's bringing them, and they understand what friendship means. But now he's taking it one step further. This friend is not really being a friend, but because of the confidence, because of the shamelessness, because of the boldness, he gets up and gives as much as you need. He's telling us, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Shamelessness. Confidence. In God. He's your friend. And he don't get tired. That's not good English. He doesn't get tired. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. God does not get tired. Okay, now, let's take another look at something else. Let's go down to verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, we've all heard this probably taught, and this is wrong too. You just keep asking and asking and asking. You keep knocking, knocking, knocking. You keep seeking, seeking, seeking. And you do it over, over, over. And you do it over, over, over. And you do it over, over, over. The same thing. This isn't the same thing doing over, over, and over. And I'm going to show you. It is asking. But you don't stay asking for the same thing. You don't keep seeking all on the same thing. You don't keep knocking all on the same thing. Like constantly going over, 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 over. I'll show you why. Now, the word ask, though, you need to understand what the word ask means. Ask means this: to beg, call for, crave, desire, require. It has no hint of repeating over and over and over. Because Jesus said, in Matthew, he said this: the Gentiles repeat over and over, and they think because of the repetitiveness, they'll hear me. They'll be heard. And they won't be because of the repetitiveness. Now, let's go over, and I want to show you something. Go over to Matthew, and let's take a look at, well, let's go over to Matthew chapter, this is a Bible study, Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you this according to the Word, because people think that repetitiveness or being persistent in doing something over and over and over is going to get God's attention. And that doesn't get God's attention. What gets God's attention is shamelessness, confidence, boldness, just knowing Him. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. Of Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, do not use vain, what does it say? What's it say? Repetitions. What does that mean? Over and over and over. As the who does? the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their what? Many words. Okay, now let's go back over to Luke. I'm going to show you and break this down right. Ask. The word ask there means this. Beg, call for, crave, desire, require. Seek means seek in order to find, or to seek after, or seek for, aim at, strive after. And the word you will find means to come upon you. It will hit upon you. It'll meet with you. It'll see you. You'll learn, discover, understand. The word knock means to knock or a rap at the door. It's not a constantly the same door. Do you see what I'm saying? You go to the door, knock, it don't open, move to the next one. Don't stand at that door and just keep on knocking. Nobody's home. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Come back tomorrow night and try it again, right? But that's how we think sometimes. It means this, you ask, you seek. If you don't find, seek. Don't stay there, keep seeking, seek. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, knock, knock. No, no. Knock, no one answers, move on. Do you see the difference? Go to another door. Knock. Don't stay at the same place. Now, watch this. Or listen to this. Or here we go. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks might get it. What's it say? Receives. He receives. Remember, he's talking about shamelessness. If you're shameless and you ask, you're going to get it because you have confidence and know that it's there. I'm going to show you why. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks what? Finds. And to him who knocks, it's what? Okay, so here's what Jesus says. Watch this. People have taught this wrong. You keep asking on the same thing. You keep knocking. You just keep knocking. They'll eventually answer, just like that guy that was sleeping. You just keep there and he'll finally get tired and get up. You just keep seeking and you'll find it. You just keep seeking the same thing in the room. You're seeking, seeking, seeking in the same spot, looking over and over. You keep knocking on that same door. That's not what this is. You ask, no, you receive. You go up to the door. I'm looking for a Corvette. I bought my wife. I asked the Lord, where do I go? The Lord said, move. What do you normally do? You go to a car place. I went to the car place. Bring the car out. They took a look at it. I said, no, that ain't the right one. I didn't stay there and go, come on, keep bringing them out, keep bringing them out, keep bringing them out, keep bringing them out. No, I said, no, ain't working there. Let's go somewhere else. Boom. Then all of a sudden, here comes the vet. It comes out. It came and captured us. It found me. Came right in. Serendipity. Boom. But I didn't stop. I didn't go to the one place and stop and say, well, I guess it's not the will of God. I didn't find it that one place. And I knocked, I seeked, I looked all over that dealership and I couldn't find any more cars. I mean, we even went out to the back garage. No, you seek another direction. Do you see what I mean? Like once one old guy said, well, that pond's been fished out. You move on to the next pond. Y'all ought to know that up here now. Come on. Right? But that's what people do. They stay in the same spot instead of moving on. Another door knocks. It says it will open. How do you know when you hit the right door, Pastor Len? It opens. Isn't that something? Jesus is pretty smart, isn't he? But most people are like this. And Jesus is like, wrong door, buddy. Move. Move. And they're like, no, bless God, I'm using my faith. I spoke to this mountain. I spoke to this door. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Speaking to the mountain is totally different than knocking on a door. Because the door will open. You look for a job, you don't stay in the same spot. If you can't get one at the state, that you want to get one at the state working the highway patrol or highway area, it's not open. And guess what? Maybe you need to make another change to another department in the state. Knock on that door. You see what I'm saying? So this isn't staying at one spot. Does everybody see that? Okay, now, let's take a look at this thing. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Man, isn't that really neat? You ask, he gives it to you. Seek, and you will find. Not him, you'll find it. Now watch this. And you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Verse 10, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it'll be open. Verse 11, if a son, now Jesus goes from, watch this. Jesus takes us from a friend to a friend. Then Jesus takes us to asking, seeking, knocking. That sounds like putting faith, feet to your faith. Does that not? He takes us to get us in action because faith is action. Now he's going to bring us into another relationship. If a son asks a father, watch this now. If a son asks a father, okay, or I'm sorry, verse number 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, hold your finger right there and go over to Luke chapter 10 and look at verse number 17. Because Jesus is going to give them a lesson here that when you ask for something, the devil don't answer your prayers. And watch this. As far as God's not going to give you what the devil gives. Let's put it that way. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in our name, in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon what? And what? And over what? And nothing by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Why did he use that? Why did he use... Now, let's go back over and look at prayer. He's talking about prayer. Look at Luke chapter... Let's go back to 11, and let's look at verse number 12 or 11. If a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? How many remember in Matthew... Chapter 4, when Jesus fasted 40 days, the devil came to him and said, hey, if you're the Son of Man, turn this stone into bread. Thank you. But Jesus said, if a son comes to a father and asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Because, see, bread there, Jewish, a father and son sitting down having bread, is unleavened. It's either oblong or it's round, and it's the size of a plate. It's not cut, it's broke. It's about the thickness of your thumb. And it's to sit down to have fellowship, to enjoy one another and break it. And he said, which of the son who asked for bread, notice it's on, he knows his daddy has bread. There's confidence. If you know daddy has bread, now watch this, and he asked his son, the son asked the dad for bread, will the father, watch this now, will the father give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, so the father either had to go buy that fish or he went fishing, but it came from his provision. Notice that. The bread came from his provision. The son didn't have to do anything for it. If he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Will he give him a serpent? I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Watch this now. Or if he asks for an egg, will they offer him a scorpion? An egg. Now what? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts, things that sustain life, I've come that they may have life and have it what? Sure. But see, we need things to sustain us physically and spiritually, right? And he's talking about physical things. He's saying, hey, the physical need is going to be met. Your Father will meet it. I'll meet it. These are all physical things that are happening. Now Jesus is going to bring it down to the spiritual. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now listen to me and listen to me very carefully. The Holy Spirit in that time only came on the prophet, the king, right? And who else? The priest. That's all the Holy Spirit came on. This was his disciples. Their mind shift just changed. Boom! When he said, ask the Father, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. They were like, only the kings, only the priests, only the prophets, they get the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, no, you can have the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It's for every follower, everyone. We need the Holy Spirit to sustain us. Jesus used all the physical need, and now he brings it to the spiritual need. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to get everything pertaining to life and godliness because he only speaks the truth. He only speaks what he heard Jesus said, and Jesus is the way, the truth, right? And what else? Thank you very much, the Zoe. You can only get more like God by having the Holy Spirit and praying and asking Holy Spirit. You know, when he said there, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's setting him up for the Holy Spirit, to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given because Jesus hadn't been glorified yet, right? He hadn't died yet. He's getting them set up. Go with me now to 1 John chapter 5. Let's wrap this thing up about prayer and then we're going to end. Hey, look at this. I'm going to end early tonight. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Prayer is easy. Prayer doesn't have to be long, folks. Prayer doesn't have to go on tediously. Now, you can use big, long words, and that's okay. And you can call Abba, Father. You can do all these things, and gracious Lord, heaven of earth, and glory, and all this. And that's fine. That's great. But I don't know about you. He's just my friend. I just like to get down the nitty-gritty. Hey, God, it's jacked up here. I need some help. That's how I do it with him. He asked my wife. My prayer time is very short. Because I know what I need, and I know what he can do. And I just, that's how I am. And guess what? He just answers my prayers. Yep. I don't know why. I'm not real religious, though I got called that once. I'm very non-religious. How many know that? I don't even hardly pray when I come up and minister on Sundays. I know some people are like, he didn't pray. Well, I figured you already prayed up. Yeah. I never saw Jesus anyway. He goes, let's stop and pray before the Sermon on the Mount. Now, don't get me wrong. That's okay. That's good. And there's all right with prayer. So I don't want you to go away and Pastor David call me up and say, now, what you teach him about? It's all right if you pray. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. I just don't do it because I'm already prayed up. I've been praying all day and doing things with the Lord. And I'm all prayed out. If you want to know the truth about it. How much do you pray, Lynn? Do you pray 1 hour? I said, no, that was just to see a scripture taken out of context. Because Jesus has already been on the cross and down. He don't need me to stay there and pray for him anymore 1 hour. You got what I'm saying? I better move on over here. All right, here we go. I pray more than 1 hour if you weren't wanting to hear the truth about it. But my prayers are little short prayers because he's my friend. He's with me. So when I get in a situation and your name comes on my heart, I just say something like this. Hey, Lord, Debbie's on my heart. Something probably jacked up, messed up, goofed up. Help her. Holy Spirit, bring her the word. God, send the angels. Yep. Oh, Lord, do something great for her. Help her. Yep. In Jesus' name. And then guess what? The burden lifts. Yep. Sometimes it doesn't lift. Sometimes it go a little deeper and God will have me pray. Something else. But most of the time, it just leaves. Seriously. I don't know. I just think he's simple. Mm-hmm. Not simpleton, just easy. I think there's a scripture about it. My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. But see, we want that. You got to pray an hour, bless God. Have you got your morning prayer in? Well, yes. Matter of fact, I walked over to the time clock at my house, my prayer time clock, and boom, put it in. It could be filled with doubt and unbelief, but I just like, boom, 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 1 hour down. That's not what he wants. Could you imagine having a friend like that? They just want to talk to you. Well, I sat with you for an hour. We didn't talk about much, but are you following what I'm saying? He's your friend. He loves you. He's your daddy. Now he takes it and shows him. He's not only your friend, but he takes you another relationship. He's a son. Your son, your father. And then he takes another thing and says, now we're going to get into some spiritual stuff. The Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. You got an anointing from the Holy One. Go over to John, 1 John chapter 2. Hurry up, 1 John chapter 2. I can't go later. Pastor David's going to get me. I have to be obedient. Verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Go to 220. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You're a know-it-all. Inside of you is the anointing is on you. You know all things. What's that mean? When you need to know it, you're going to know it. You look in the inside. You got an anointing rubbed on, smeared on by God. You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, and he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let us abide in you. Look at this. Therefore, let that abide in you, what you heard from the beginning. And what you heard from the beginning abides in you. You also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Look at this. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Jesus said, remember, ask for the Holy Spirit. Now you got him in you. Look at this. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Now I am teaching you, but he's opening up the scripture. I can't open up. Does everybody understand that? Okay. So he teaches you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, who? The anointing, you will abide in him. Now, go over to 1 John 5. We're going to end tonight. Prayer is easy. Prayer is simple. Prayer comes down to shamelessness. Shamelessness. You must become like a little child. If I get my grandkids in here, you know what my grandkids do to me? Watch this. Their prayers get answered every time with me, just like God. Every time I answer their prayer, you say, that's not true. It is true. Watch. Papa, can I have that Ninjago Legos? I say, how much is it? It's $85. No. Prayer answered. Watch this. Papa, can I have this? Ask and you shall knock and what? Seek and you what? Knock and what? $84. Guess what my little kid does? Hey, Papa, can I have this Lego Ninjago spaceship? How much is it? $44.95. Nope. Hey, Papa, what? Can I have this Ninjago horse? How much is it? $19.95. Yes. And guess what he does? Because he knows Papa's going to give him the answer. He may not be looking for the answer he's going to get. But guess what? Sometimes they'll do this. Hey, Papa, can I have this? No. Papa, can I have that? No. Papa, can I have this? No. Papa, can I get this? No. Papa, what can I get? I said, you get to get a nap. Because you need it. You see what I'm saying? I answered their prayers. God's answering our prayer every time we pray. But you know the problem is? We don't want to take no. And that's a good answer sometimes. It protects us. Do you know why some people marry people that are messed up? Do you want to really know why? I'm going to help you as a pastor. Why? Because most of them don't know what they're looking for. Like my grandson knew he wanted Ninjago. He wasn't moving off Ninjago. Something had to be Ninjago that day. It was Ninjago. He didn't care because he was eventually going to get the rest of them. But he was just putting out there for the biggest one. You follow me? Most people don't know when they're getting married that they want a Ninjago. I just want me a woman. Well, what kind of woman? There's a lot of women out there. You follow me? I just want me a man. Well, what kind of man? You see what I mean? They just haphazardly just throw it out there. And guess what? They get what they receive. God says, nope, wrong guy. But they keep trying to get that guy. Teenager, same thing. Keep trying to get that girl. Keep trying to get that guy. And God's like, that ain't working. But we need to use common sense. If the door doesn't open, why break it down? That's how we get in trouble. It's so easy to follow him. Door don't open, next door. It's simple. How do I know if he's the right one, Pastor? Did the door open? Well, we can't seem to ever get together. I said, the door ain't open. Move on. He's a friend. Move on. She's a friend. Move on. We always seem to fight. There's a door that's shut. But my love can push through. God's love can't even push through. What you talking about? I know my love can change him. Really? You're greater than Jesus. That's why I tell you, you're greater than Jesus. Your love is going to change him. You see how goofy we get? I've been trying to get that job. I just want that job. But it might not be the right job. It could get you backslid, killed, all kinds of crazy things. We got to do things easy. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, I receive. Seeking, checking it out. I knock, the door opens. Bingo. If I don't have any peace and the door opens, that's another thing. Does everybody understand that? All right, here we go. Verse number 14, 1 John 5. Because not every door is, you know what I mean? The door needs to open on what you've been praying for. Okay. I met the right guy. Is he saved? No. Wrong guy. Okay, here we go. I met the right girl. Really? Where'd you meet her at? Never mind. Here we go. Now, I met her down at the bar, but she's backslid. Okay. Right one. No, I'm joking. Here we go. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Boldness, cheerfulness, shamelessness. I think John, the disciple, who's now the apostle, right here, he got it, didn't he? Did he not get it, what Jesus was teaching over in Luke chapter 11? Shamelessness. He just didn't use shamelessness. He uses confidence. Same thing. He says the same thing that Jesus said in Luke chapter 11. Watch this. Now, this is the confidence or boldness, cheerfulness, courage, or shamelessness that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his what? He hears us. Who are we supposed to ask for? The Holy Spirit. Will the Holy Spirit lead us against his will? No. No way. You see how easy prayer is? Easy. Now watch this. Now this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Look at verse 15. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Sounds like John listened to what Jesus taught. Right? Let's close our Bibles. The Lord wants you to know something. The more you know him and see in his word, the easier it will become to just chill with him, to relax with him, to let eternal life come forth in your life. So many people struggle because they don't know him. They've never been taught about him, and they never understood how easy it is to follow him. He talked to just plain people, fishermen. He talked to tax collectors. He talked to people that were beggars. He talked to people that were just common day people. And they got it. And what the Lord really wants us to see is this. Answered prayer comes from a friendship. And it comes by knowing who he is. Asking, seek, knock. He'll take care of every one of your needs as you see what he starts showing you, just like that son knew his father had bread. He knew his father had a fish. He knew his father had an egg. And his father was going to give him that, not give him something bad. Does everybody understand? Okay.